Hello and welcome to today's program in the Commonwealth Club of California. My name is Kevin O'Malley. I'm chairman of the Business and Leadership Forum here at the club and your host for tonight. Our program tonight is Building a Charismatic Personal Brand with Ellen Muyen. So I would like to introduce Ellen to you briefly. I'd like to welcome any new members or potential members to the club here tonight, and it's my pleasure to host Ellen. I'll tell you just a very brief bio of Ellen before I bring her up here. Ellen Muyen is America's leader in personal branding and was one of the first females in sales at IBM and Xerox, where she was a top sales performer and trainer. Ellen has a BA in philosophy from Temple University and over 24 years experience in her own business as a branding and communications specialist, keynote speaker, and sales trainer. Ellen's work is endorsed by guerrilla marketing author Jay Levinson, and she's the featured branding expert in the book Get Clients Now. Ellen is a branding commentator on KGO Radio, San Francisco's number one radio station, and she's the author of Branding with Charisma. So Ellen will be speaking till about 10 to 7, and then we will have some time for questions and answers. So with that, please welcome Ellen Muyen.
Thank you. Thanks, Kevin. Hello. This is so exciting. I never speak in places where I know half the audience, so this is so nice. Thank you, my friends and clients and fans who've come out tonight. There's a lot of young women here from University of San Francisco and Haas Business School, because I spoke at the Women in Leadership Conference at Haas a couple of weeks ago, so I love inspiring young women, so I'm so glad you've all come. And I like inspiring men, too, by the way. So that's good. And I'm so excited. This is my fourth engagement at the San Francisco Commonwealth Club over the last 15 years. And it's just so significant to be on this particular stage. We sold out of the smaller room, the gold room. And this stage means so much to me because this is where so many world leaders, presidents, thought leaders have stood and changed the world. So I'm here to just change a few minds tonight and have you think about your personal brand, perhaps in a way you've never thought of before. So what I'd like to do with this event tonight, rather than be just a talking head and giving my typical keynote speech, I'd like to create a real experience, because branding is about the experience. So you game? You game for an experience here? So in the next hour, we have an hour. The Commonwealth Club does everything just so. So we have to, they're going to take me off the stage in an hour no matter what. So, which has me very nervous because I don't know how to keep time very well, but we'll see how that all runs. There'll be a Q&A at the end, which is really the most fun of my whole talk, is the Q&A. So definitely stay for that. Let me also tell you that I'm going to be sharing with this audience the 8 elements of charismatic influence. And when I get to element 7, you don't want to leave, because it can save your life hearing what I'm going to tell you about element 7. Is that a good teaser? See, this is what I get for being on the radio. This is how we keep the radio audience. Okay, so I am going to start my presentation by asking this incredible group, how many of you have a personal brand? Oh, I'm sorry. I got distracted because my technology wasn't working. Let's do that again. How many of you have a personal brand? Raise your hand. Okay, this is different than most of the audiences, because typically when I ask this question, one or two hands go up. In this audience, I would say maybe 10% of the hands went up. So what about the other 90% of you? This is a trick question, because the people whose hands did not go up, guess what? You have a personal brand. You're just not managing it. So you have a personal brand by default. You see, we are branding you. Everyone you know is putting their perceptions on you and your name and your brand. So listen up. If you are one of the people who didn't raise your hand, let's make a commitment to yourself tonight that this is the night you begin the branding inquiry. And you heard I was a philosophy major. Well, branding is an inquiry, much the way philosophers study their philosophy. And because I am a philosophy major, I love deconstructing complex topics and just getting them distilled down to their golden nuggets. So tonight I'm going to share with you what I consider the golden nuggets of personal branding. So you ready for an experience? Okay, so element number 7 that I told you I was going to get to later is about maintaining presence. And there is nothing more critical to your personal brand than your ability to be present to your life, to the people in your life, whether it's your spouse or your children or the people you're trying to sell your concept or business to, or if you work in corporate America, the way you're thought of and how people perceive you, that is all so important. And people who are totally present to life show up for life very differently than the rest of the distracted world. So let's do something unusual tonight. You're all here at the end of a busy day, a Tuesday in the financial district in San Francisco. Some of you, some of my clients drove all the way from Santa Cruz. Thank you, Sunil and Glenda, for doing that. I appreciate that. So what I would like to do now is to let everyone get really present. Feel the experience in your body right now of your busy mind and all the distractions of the day and those three emails you didn't answer and that phone call you should have made before you left the office, or you didn't pick up your kid at soccer practice and now they're... No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully you picked up your kid at soccer practice. Okay. Anyway, so feel the way you're feeling right now with all the distractions and the busy-mindedness and the energetics of the day surrounding you. And let's all just take a deep breath, because I need to do this for myself to give a really good presentation tonight. So take a deep breath, and as you breathe in the current present moment. And know that in the next hour, we're going to have an experience as a group that we'll never have again. This is a one-time thing. With all of us assembled here at the San Francisco Commonwealth Club on Tuesday, March 20th, 2012. Okay, so come to present moment. Can you feel the difference of quieting your mind and getting in the present moment? A lot of you probably do this already. This group just went present immediately. That doesn't happen most of the time. It takes a few minutes. Okay, so those of you who are designing your brand, good for you. That means that you know that people are going to judge you and have perceptions about you. So why not be proactive about this? So having a unique and charismatic brand can instantly enhance your credibility. Wouldn't you like to be considered the expert in your field? Wouldn't you like to be known for the things that you know? It also makes you more visible. People remember you. And it makes you much more influential. And I will be spending the second half of my talk talking about charismatic influence as part of your personal brand. So brand building by design is all about differentiation and emotional connection. That's the mystery to branding. Whether I branded divisions of major corporations like Kaiser and Chevron and Wells Fargo, and it's the same thing when you're branding yourself. It's about differentiation. What makes you unique? How do you stand out from all the other lookalikes with your same job description? How do you differentiate yourself? That is a key to personal branding. By the way, on your seat, you have a handout. That's for you to take notes. And so you have something to write on. So differentiation and emotional connection. Emotional connection means really connecting energetically with the people you come into contact with. It's not about just connecting from the neck up. It's connecting with your whole being. We'll get into that later. Branding is about the perceptions that people already have of you. And branding is about managing those perceptions and managing the way they think of you. So that when your name comes up and you're top of mind, people are thinking about you the way you want them to think about you. And then, of course, it's intentionally spotlighting the special talents and gifts and abilities that you have and want to be known for. So whether you work in corporate America or you own your own business or you're a student, and, you know, I have a friend here tonight with her teenage son, a college-age student. Branding is for everybody. You will find that when you develop your personal brand, you'll be a better spouse, you'll be a better parent, at least the way I do branding, because it's about from the inside out. Okay, so personal branding is a great career management tool. And, you know, Eric Schmidt, the former CEO of Google, said that people choose to work at places where they can achieve something. So your unique personal brand goes everywhere with you. If you work in corporate America, by the way, and you hate what you're doing, or you own a business and you hate what you're doing, do something else. It's nice that I can say this. Usually I'm speaking in corporate America, and they're paying me, so I can't say that. But if you've lost the passion that you once had for a job that you got 20 years ago, or you get sick to your stomach sitting on the freeway driving to work every day, I see some people nodding at their partners that they came here with, change it now. You must have that passion for what you're doing. You must want to wake up in the morning and get excited about what you do. I've had my business for 24 years, and I'm constantly reinventing myself. And at my age, it's not as easy to stay relevant, trust me. But relevance is so important to your personal brand and to your career management. And, of course, your ability to confidently and persuasively articulate your personal brand wherever you go is so valuable, to be able to talk about your value. So I'm going to share with you a great philosophical truth. Are you ready? It's about branding and it's about life. And again, philosophy, because I love philosophy. So there is no such thing as objective reality. I'm going to say that again. There is no such thing as objective reality because all that really exists are the perceptions that we have of people, of businesses, of places, of everything. So we've all heard that expression, perception is reality, and that's great because that means that we can actually manage the perception of value that others have of us. So no longer do you have to be afraid of that perception is reality because there are no best products or services. If your clients think you're the best, and I have some clients in this room that think I'm the best brander, yay. So that's great. But am I the best brander on earth? Only to my clients because there's no such thing as objective reality. You get it? It's an important concept to branding. Value is only a perception. It can be managed. And you need to start the branding process by thinking backwards, asking yourself the question, how do I want to be perceived by others? Very, very important. And by the way, everything you hear tonight from me is all about authenticity. I am not standing up here like some Madison Avenue ad person telling you to develop some fluffy image that's not the real you. The way I do branding, I create a context for personal branding. And the context I'm creating tonight with this presentation is not just personal branding, but it's also about emotional intelligence and charismatic influence and how those three things interplay with one another. So there's a lot of branding experts out there on the planet. And I'm one of them. I've been branding, as I said, major companies and individuals, some of who are in this room. By the way, there's brochures of people I branded on the back table. Please pick them up later. They're my clients' brochures, and I'm so proud of them. And some of them have doubled their business since investing in their brand. So anyway, you start the branding process by thinking backwards, asking yourself how do you want to be perceived, and what's your individual contribution of value. So we're going to do a few exercises. It's going to be interactive. I'm just setting the stage now, so don't go away. I have a couple of popular brands, up on the screen. And I first want to talk about the Coke and Pepsi brand because there's relevance to your personal brand inside of these brands that I'm talking about tonight. On the Coke and Pepsi brand, by the way, I do not endorse either one of those products. Stick to water. But they make a good branding story as an illustration, okay? I don't touch this stuff, but it's good for branding. Okay, so Coca-Cola, Pepsi, remember years ago when Pepsi went up against Coca-Cola in the Pepsi Challenge? They set up taste tests in shopping centers. Guess who won the Pepsi Challenge? That means they preferred the taste of one of the colas over the other, blind taste test. Who won the Pepsi Challenge? Does anyone know? Actually, Pepsi won the Pepsi Challenge. More people prefer the taste of Pepsi over Coke. But here's the trick. The number one selling brand in the world of colas is still Coca-Cola. The reason is the taste doesn't matter. Brands run very deep. The emotional connections that we have to certain brands run deep. I can remember my grandparents at Christmas. My grandmother had one of those little Santa Claus Coca-Cola antique trays. I remember wanting that, coveting that for my little doll collection and playing with that, playing house with that. But my point is that when I see a Coke logo, it reflects me back to those easier, happier times, perhaps. So that's the power of a brand, emotional power of a brand. Okay, now we have Starbucks. What I love about the Starbucks brand is it's not about the coffee. What you say? Starbucks brand isn't about coffee? No, it's not. It's about the environment, the attitude, and the experience for buying and drinking coffee. So what is the environment, the attitude, and the experience of your brand? Very important questions to ask yourself. There's something to extrapolate from every one of these successful brands that you can put into your own brand. And then I love this last one because I'm going to play a game with you and I'm going to get very control freakish about the way this game gets played, okay? I don't want anyone to shout out an answer when I ask for the answer to this question of this mystery brand I have here. And I'm going to count 1, 2, 3 and go like this, and then I want the whole room to say this brand in unison. It's a very powerful way to illustrate brand value. And by the way, the brain is a filing cabinet, and we file your name under a certain attribute or file in our brain when we hear your name, because that's your brand. And the game I want to play now, remember, don't shout out an answer. We're going to do it in unison on the count of three. So I'm thinking of a European car that owns the safety file in our brain. They have hooked up their brand name with the attribute of safety, and they're not necessarily the safest car on the road. They just got there first. They tag that word. They put that in our brains. And when we think of safety on the count of three, we think of 1, 2, 3... Volvo. Okay, there was a little Mercedes. Once in a while, I got a Mercedes. I was speaking at a Swedish company at Ericsson on Thursday, and someone actually said Lexus in the audience. That was a first. Go figure. But anyway, the brand we were all thinking of, or most of us were thinking of, is the Volvo brand. So they have hooked up that attribute of safety with their brand value. What attributes do you want to be known for? Take a second right now. We're all in present moment awareness. So what is the attribute you want your brand to be thought of and filed under? What, just write down a couple of adjectives that you'd like to be thinking about for your brand. I'm not going to call on you. It's just for you. Okay? So now we have a famous brand, and a brand represents the visual, emotional, and rational images. You see Steve Jobs up here on the slide. You see the Apple brand. You see the beautifully designed products. But there's a lot of information with this Apple brand for your brand. Because what Apple does right is they know the why of their brand, not just the what and the how. And I was watching a wonderful TED conference or a speaker on this subject. I can't remember his name, but I think if you just put in how and why, you might get this speaker because it was very powerful. I talk a lot about the why, and there's no better why than Steve Jobs and Apple. You see, Steve Jobs, no matter what Apple was going to create, it had to, like, blast through the status quo of what was. Steve Jobs was such a visionary that business as usual never came up for him. He was always 10 steps ahead in technology. And now he's gone, and his brand and his name live on. And these three attributes to the Apple brand, these three ways of thinking about the Apple brand, the visual, the emotional, and the rational, is the way we think about your personal brand. There's a visual component, and these days that visual component is even more important online because some of the people we know we don't even meet in person, so get a fabulous headshot photo and make it look like you. Because sometimes I have some friends who have a headshot photo from 20 years ago and 40 pounds ago. That's not the headshot photo you want because you don't want to show up. And there's this disconnect because branding is all about consistency and integrity. So go invest in a great headshot photo. If you don't have a great photographer, email me and I'll give you a few names. Okay, so the thing about Apple's products are they're visually so aesthetically pleasing and beautiful. The visual Apple has down. They have the emotional down because they have that why. We like to buy into the why, the visionary aura of technology and products. And then the rational images, they do the job. They hit all the bullet points we would want in their products. So we'll talk more about the rational and emotional in a few minutes. Personal branding is what you're known for, what you're known as, and what you're known for knowing. I've chosen three well-known brands from pop culture because they have a lot to teach us about our personal brands. First, we have Oprah. I am a rabid Oprah fan. I'm sorry. I admit it. I come clean. I've had separation anxiety ever since she left the airwaves. I don't have the OWN network in my cable program, so there you go. Anyway, but Oprah's known for living your best life, and anybody she brings into her show is about that. Look at all the spin-off brands from Oprah. We got Dr. Phil, Dr. Oz, Susie Orman. I mean, there's a million of them. If you're wonderful enough to be on Oprah's show, you too can be a household name. Sort of feels like that. What you're known as, Donald Trump, he's not one of my favorite people. We are both native New Yorkers, and he sort of ruins the image a little bit for me, but don't quote me on that. But he's brilliant at branding. You have to give him that. He is brilliant at branding. And you also know that no matter where you are in the world, if you go into a Trump Tower or a Trump Hotel, it has a certain level of luxury and consistency. You know what to expect. Consistency is so important for your brand. You must deliver the same service and value each time and consistently, because that's what people expect in a brand. And then you've got Martha Stewart. Oh, and I want to say something else about Donald Trump. What I do like about Donald Trump, I'll say something positive and even out the score. I love that on his TV show, The Apprentice, he's made personal branding a household name and branding in general. I mean, they have projects every week about branding some company. So I'm happy for that, because the more people that know about branding, the better life is for me. Now we've got Martha Stewart. She gave Americans class. She gave us taste that we never had, let's be honest. But then she got carted off to jail. And guess what? Her brand is so fantastic that she survived being in the slammer. And her brand is in full regalia again, and she's never missed a beat. That is fabulous brand management. So call me before you go to jail, and we'll make sure we get it all figured out. Okay. So here's what I want to tell you. Starting today, you are the CEO of your own personal brand. Your company may own your job, but you own your career. And starting today, how many of you will raise your hand and commit with me that you are going to seriously manage and design your personal brand? Thank you. I wanted to see every hand go up, and I did. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, now we're going to have some fun, because I'm involving you in this now. We're going to do a fun exercise. I'd like you to pick a partner sitting close by. It really works best if you don't know the person. So you might want to turn around and partner with someone sitting behind you so couples are not working together or people that came here together. Take a moment and decide who goes first and who goes second. We're going to do a two-minute exercise, and this will be a baseline because we're going to do it again after I teach you a few things, and you're going to see the difference. It's going to be palpable. I'm sorry, you have questions? Does everyone have a partner? If you break up in twos, don't be threes, don't be fours, be twos if at all possible. Does anyone need a partner? Raise your hand. So see, you two can partner up right there. Raise your hand. Meet in the back, be partners, find some chairs, or come up front. There's extra chairs right up here. I promise not to pick on you. Well, maybe not. We'll see. Not too much. I'll be nice. Okay, so everyone knows who their partner is, right? Everyone's got a partner. So decide who's going first, and then I'll set this exercise up. This isn't even the fun part. The fun part's in about 5 minutes. Okay, everybody, you ready? I need a timer. Who has a phone with a one-minute timer on it for me? Can I have a volunteer? Thank you. Okay, so Glenda, you'll be my timekeeper. Thank you. You can still do that, too, but can you keep an eye out? Because we got to make sure everybody's on the same. I'll point to you when I tell you to start the clock. Okay, so everyone has a partner. Here's what we're going to do. We are going to share with our partner what we are known for knowing. It's very simple. Don't read too much into this. What are you known for knowing? You have 1 minute to tell your partner. And then your partner, then we're going to stop. And then we're going to switch partners. Any questions? What are you known for knowing? It's right up there on the slide. You're going to share your value in the context of what you're known for knowing. You ready? 1 minute on the clock. Thank you, Glenda. Go ahead and start. Person number one, what are you known for knowing? You can sit down. Sit down. You sure? Okay, person number one, stop. Stop wherever you are. There'll be some time afterwards to finish this up, and you'll get to complete this. So person number one, thank you. And now, person number two, it's your turn to tell person number one what you're known for knowing. A minute on the clock, Linda, thank you. Okay, go ahead. Okay, stop. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry to be yelling in your ears to stop. But you'll appreciate this when we get to do the second go-around, which we will do in a few minutes. So just remember the experience right now as your baseline experience, and we're going to have a stellar experience doing this again a whole different way in just a few minutes, okay? So what do all these people have in common? People skills? Yeah, that's a good answer. That's the first time I ever heard that answer. That's good. What? Leadership? Yes. They're public figures. Great. Brand. They have brands. Very good. And the correct answer I got in the back there, because she figured this is a talk on charismatic branding. So what they all have in common, brilliant deduction. They all share that number one quality that guarantees a magnetic personal brand, and that is charisma. And by the way, you saw Ronald Reagan up there and Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton's the number one most charismatic president. John F. Kennedy is two, and Ronald Reagan is three. I think that's what's wrong right now. We need some inspired leadership. Actually, we have some. I don't want to even get political. I was actually referring to the primary, but that's... It's another workshop. Okay. I got carried away on the Commonwealth Club stage. I'm sorry. Okay. This isn't KGO. I'm not allowed to do political commentary. I apologize. If you want to hear my political commentary, it's on my website. Okay. All right. So charisma. I love this definition. This is right out of Webster's Dictionary, this definition. A special quality of leadership that captures the imagination. And the popular imagination, and inspires allegiance and devotion. Would you not like to capture the imagination of the public that your brand serves, your colleagues, your coworkers, your clients? Wouldn't we all love that? And I love that wording, capturing the imagination. That's what we need to do. It's not about selling your services. It's not about being salesy and running off a sales pitch. It's about being so passionate and excited about what you have to offer that you capture the popular imagination wherever you go. Wouldn't we love that? Well, let's deconstruct what this whole thing of charisma is. Let me set this up and tell you that for 25 years, I have just been enthralled with the subject. I've read and studied and listened to everybody's treatises on the subject, and I have deconstructed the world of charismatic influence down to 8 elements that I'm about to share with you in a few minutes. So let's think about charisma the way we hear about it. We hear about it more in our pop culture, but I'd like to reframe it to charismatic leadership. So for the purpose of the rest of my talk, this is about charismatic leadership, leading yourself throughout your career and inspiring and leading others. It's that it factor, and we know it when we see it. And people always ask me, can charisma be taught? And I'm here to tell you, yes. I've made a study of this. I created a whole program around teaching charismatic influence. So you can definitely, definitely learn charisma. Now, can I turn a couch potato slacker into Bill Clinton? I don't think so. But can I up your charisma quotient a little bit from wherever it is? Absolutely. And let me tell you something. If any of you are interested in knowing how charismatic you currently are, I have a free gift for everybody in this audience. If you go to my website, it's on your handout, the address, you can take my free charisma challenge. And you can grade yourself on your current aspect, I can't think of the word. Well, you know what I'm saying. You can grade yourself and see how charismatic you really are. So I suggest you all do that, because what it does is it takes the 8 elements of charismatic influence, and it has 4 little questions underneath each element, so you only have to answer 32 questions, and you'll see where your strengths are and where your weaknesses are. So I hope you'll take my free gift and do that. Charisma is an intangible energy, and it's one of the most powerful forms of persuasion and influence. And branding and charisma, and emotional intelligence for that matter, is all about energetic connectivity. It's all about connecting energetically. You know, I was watching PBS on Saturday, and Joseph Campbell was on. And I don't know if any of you remember from the 80s, the Joseph Campbell interviews. I had the privilege of studying personally with Joseph Campbell at Skywalker Ranch in the 80s. It was an honor, a total honor. That man is, you know, he was a brilliant, brilliant man. But I was reminded watching it on Saturday, it was on one of the PBS stations. He talked about these people that go through life unexcited and uninterested and unalive. And I wonder how many people in this room are going to a job every day like that. And we've all heard what Joseph Campbell says about following your bliss. It's not just a tagline. It's the truth of life. So if I only impress one thing on you tonight beyond managing your personal brand, I want you to live a really energized life. Really show up for life in a way you've never shown up before. Because that's the difference between the successful person and the person who's just always in complaint that life isn't going their way. It's an energetic. People respond to our energy. And charismatic people have an energetic that lights up a room. And it's not just a fluffy energetic. It's a really sincere, authentic energetic. Charisma induces such strong emotions in people. And it lets people know they really matter. And charismatic people have a natural presence and a personal magnetism that the rest of the world doesn't have. But you can all learn to become more charismatic and more influential. So Max Weber, the famous sociologist from the 1930s, called charisma, actually he was the first person to take charisma out of the spiritual realm and bring it into the sociological realm. And he calls charisma the third form of authority after law and tradition. That's huge. The third form of authority after law and tradition. So I coach a lot of high potential leaders in their charismatic influence. And it is so palpable to see the before and after. These are people who are confident and successful, but they lack that spark of influence. They lack that energetic presence. And it can be learned. And it is amazing for me to see the before and the after and witness that change. It's awesome. So charismatic leaders capture the imagination by really being themselves. It's not about being some image of themselves, some idealized self-image. They're the genuine article. Charismatic leaders really care. And they're extra human. They're not superhuman. They're extra human. And we love them because they're extra human. Because they teach us how to be extra human. To be real and to be our real human self. They encourage people to be real and vulnerable. I heard a great definition of vulnerability. It was said in a book I was reading years ago. I can't remember the name of it right this second, but if anyone's interested, email me and I'll find out. I do have a source. It's called The Power of No Protection. When you're vulnerable, you're not arming yourself against life. You're not protecting yourself. You're not defended against life. We love people like that. We love that openness that invites us in and allows us to be more authentic. And when we're in the presence of a charismatic person, that attractor factor that they have sort of falls on us too. We can feel it. It changes us just being in the presence of people like that. It's huge. And they know how to relate very personally. They don't wear a mask. You know, I've been reading a lot lately and hearing a lot about this imposter thing. Have you read about this, people in the audience? I've just been reading about how many people walk through life as imposters to their own life. That is so foreign to me. I don't even understand it. I meant to look that up before I came here today so I could be more knowledgeable about the subject. If anyone has something to add to that, let us know during the Q&A. Because I find that so interesting that people are concocting these make-believe lives. And they go through the motions of living life in this constructed fake thing that they call their life. Anyway, and charismatic people treat everyone equally valuable. They think of everyone as equally valuable and important. So here are some charismatic people. I want to point out that charisma is not always a good thing. You see Adolf Hitler up there with a big red X, lest you think I am honoring the man in any way, shape, or form. But charismatic people can also be very detrimental to our society because they have that ability to gather a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of support and capture the imagination. And in his case, it was genocide that he captured the imagination of. Hideous. But let's look at some of these other better brands. And you can see Martin Luther King up here. And Martin Luther King made his I Had a Dream speech on my birthday, August 28th in the 1960s. But anyway, not my actual birthday, the day. Never mind, I'm telling you too much information. I only wish it was that. Anyway, but what Martin Luther King was able to do was he was able to evoke such powerful imagery with his words. And when I coach my clients around charisma, I teach them how to speak in sound bites that go to both sides of the brain. Because charismatic people do that naturally. They just know how to communicate powerfully. They also have a belief in their own value and their own unique abilities. So for those of you in this audience that have a problem tooting your own horn, and I know there are people in this audience who feel that way, because there are people everywhere that feel that way. And I do a lot of work in the diversity space. And a lot of cultures think it's just a sin to speak about yourself or to toot your own horn. So I want to reframe that toot your own horn syndrome for you tonight so that none of you think that by expressing your value and being able to articulate your specialness has anything to do with tooting your own horn in a Donald Trumpish sort of way. That's not what I'm advocating. Because truly charismatic people know their special talents and know their value because they use their unique gifts and talents to serve the greater good. And they have this visceral vitality. You can feel it. It is palpable. And most importantly, they possess an emotional sensitivity that allows them to really feel you. They have this ability to expand their center, to include you in their world. And it's just a wonderful thing when you're in that presence to feel that. So here are my eight elements of charismatic influence. And you have these on your handouts. They do spell out the word charisma, by the way. And if you go on my website, you can actually point, you can use this cursor and you can point to each one of these eight elements and see the qualities and skills to develop. So it's a lot of fun. You can play with that on my website if you're interested at another time. So I'm going to go through these eight elements one by one. And remember, you can take my charisma challenge on my website and do so you know where you stand as you relate to these eight elements. So the first element is about consciously managing your state of mind. Others feel your state of mind instantly. Are you ever sitting in a meeting where someone comes in and they are just in an awful state of mind and they just bring the energetic down of the whole group? We've all had that experience. We've also had the opposite experience where someone comes in and brings their positive, wonderful, joyful energy and elevates the whole room. Well, that's what your personal brand is about. Your personal brand is a reflection of how you're thinking about things and how you're managing or not managing your state of mind. And Andrew Carnegie, the famous industrialist at the turn of the 20th century, said that the most critical skill for his business and his success was the ability to control his own thinking. So for those of you who can get into moods and things happen and then you wonder why I'm in a lousy mood and lousy stuff happened today, you've got to learn how to manage your state of mind, particularly if you're in sales or you have to sell your services for a living. You have to manage that state of mind. And when you're in a low state of mind, this has happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to many of the entrepreneurs for sure in this room and certainly salespeople. When business is down, what do we think we need to do? We think we need to, like, go out and sell or dial for dollars. Let's make cold calls. No. I'm here to tell you when you're having that kind of a day, go do something you love to do. What I do is I take my black lab and I go to Stinson Beach. And guess what? When I come home, I've got all these emails and phone messages as if I were making calls all day, because it works that way. I raised my state of mind, and my universe was raised with it. So I want to tell you that your body language and how you show up, we're reading you. We make an opinion about you and a conclusion about you in the first 7 seconds we meet you. And only 7% of it is based on what you're saying. Here are some of the other percentages. 55% body language, voice tonality, 38%. Some of my friends in this room know my voicemails are the worst sometimes because I don't pay attention to my tonality when I'm leaving a voicemail. I just think, oh, I have to check this off the list. And I leave a crummy voicemail that you can hear forever. Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, let's go on to element number two. It's about having self-awareness, and it's about recognizing how your feelings affect your performance. That's why you need to go and do something you love to do, because you have to raise your energetic level because we feel that about you, and we don't want to do business with Debbie Downer. Okay? So there you go. Recognize how your feelings affect your performance. And remember I told you earlier, all of my emotional intelligence work is based on the work of Daniel Goleman. And Daniel Goleman says that emotional self-awareness plus emotional self-management equals emotional intelligence. And he did a study of 181 jobs in 121 organizations, and he found that the difference between star performers and just mediocre average performers were their emotional competencies. That made the difference, their ability to manage their own emotional self. So now we're on element number three of my eight elements of charismatic influence, and this is about artfully communicating. People want to experience a feeling before they listen to the facts. If any of you have ever sold and launched into a sales presentation too early, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you need to like and trust someone before you're going to listen to them sell you something. And all choices and buying decisions are first made emotionally in the right brain. This is very counterintuitive. We think we're saying all the right things and we're hitting all the bullet points. But no, it's about a feeling. People want to get a feeling from you first. They want a feeling about your personal brand. They want a feeling about what it is you have to offer. And then they'll listen to the facts because they justify that feeling in their left brain and they wind up buying from you if they have a positive feeling. So communicating to both sides of the brain, the left brain is the rational and the logical, the right brain is the emotional and the creative, and here's what I want you to do. Here is my branding secret, one of many. And that is to get really good at telling stories about your value. Because stories quickly illustrate the value of your personal brand. Because they go directly to the feeling center of the person you're trying to convince. And they like and trust you just naturally. So storytelling is so different than typical selling. Typical selling demonstrates how your product or service would solve a problem. With storytelling, you illustrate the value of the solution you have through a real-life situation. Instead of listing your accomplishments, how many of you felt you were listing your accomplishments in the what you're known for knowing exercise? Some people read off their job description when I ask them to do that exercise. But what you want to do instead is to tell stories that illustrate the value that you've brought to others and the passion that guides and excites your work. So we're going to go back to the partners we started with in 1 second. I forgot I had this slide, too. This is a great quote from the CEO of Saatchi & Saatchi, one of the best ad agencies in the world. And he says that stories have huge value in business because they look in the right direction. They look at people. You can't tell a story without characters and emotion and sensory detail. Stories capture us faster than the most elaborately produced annual reports. Okay, so now we're going to get back with our partner. I'm going to model how to tell a story. You're going to have 1 minute to tell a story of your value. Now, granted, this is going to be so much better when you have a chance to really rehearse this and practice it, but I want you to get a feeling of the before and after. So before, you just told your partner what you're known for knowing, and now you're going to tell a story that illustrates your value from a third-person testimonial. So I'm going to do it. Can I have a minute on the clock? Actually, I'm going to have a little water first and then tell my story. So let me have water. I get nervous when I get a minute on the clock because I can talk till the cows come home. Okay. So I'm going to tell you a story that illustrates my value as a branding specialist. Okay? So I had a client, Dr. Green, and she was a psychotherapist inside of a hospital for 30 years. She worked in a major hospital in the Bay Area for 30 years, and it was her dream. She was turning 60, and it was her dream to have her own psychotherapy practice. And she hired me to brand her and to help her create the psychotherapy practice. So I did that, and I created a beautiful marketing piece for her. And she came over to my office after work, and she was sitting across my desk, and I handed her the marketing piece. And she sat there looking at it and studying it and wasn't saying anything. And the next thing you know, she started crying hysterically and sobbing what Oprah calls the ugly cry. I was, like, freaked out. This had never happened before. It's actually happened a lot of times since, but it hadn't happened before. I said, Dr. Green, are you okay? She said, Ellen, you don't understand. I've been a psychotherapist for 30 years. It's been my job to really see people, to really get them, and to reflect their value back to them so they can appreciate themselves the way I appreciate them. And nobody has ever done that for me until just now. A minute 10. You should have... Okay. Okay, I didn't see. I was so involved in the present moment in my story. So that was the story of my value. Now you're going to get to tell the story of your value in 1 minute with your same partner from before. So get back in your partners with your partners. Person number one, I'll give you a minute on the clock. Linda? Yes? Okay. Five minutes. Come here. What happened to my 10-minute? I didn't see it. I never saw it. I am sorry. I need to have the time. I'm way behind now. Can we start 10 minutes now? I don't really want to do that, but I have to complete. I told you to make sure I saw you. I didn't. Honestly, I didn't see you. Not good. Glenda. Okay, stop. Stop. Okay, switch partners, a minute on the clock. I've got to move ahead. I'm taking too much time. Go, go. Glenda, give me a minute, please. Can you come here? I want to ask you a question. I've been watching the clock all night. I thought I had till 10 after 7. Oh, that was the dead stop.
6:40 is 10 minutes. 6:45 is 7.
6:50. I thought I had till 10 after 7. That's 20 minutes. I'm very confused. Okay, see if we can have a little extra. Thank you. Okay, stop. Stop. Okay, normally I've just been given a time signal that I'm behind time. So I'm a little freaked out because normally I do a debrief of the audience and what this experience felt like for you. We'll do that afterwards, at like our little networking afterwards. I apologize because my timings, I was supposed to be given a signal. I never saw the signal. She thought I nodded at her. I never saw it. Hello. Okay, so now I'm going to speed freak through my last three elements. Element number four is about radiating likability and empathy. There are four keys to likability. You can see them up here on the screen. They're friendliness, relevance, empathy, and realness, all very important. The source of this is The Likeability Factor by Tim Sanders, a wonderful book, but now you don't have to read it because you got the four keys to likability. I'm going to add a fifth key that I made up, and that's warmth. I think warmth is a very underestimated skill, and that warmth is a big part of personal branding. and there is a warmth slide coming up, and I'm freaked out now about the time. Likeability really matters. We don't always judge people on their performance, but rather we judge them on how much we like them, says Mark McCormack. And warmth builds trust and rapport. Here's my warmth slide. Thank you. Warmth is a rare combination of strength. Charisma is a... I can't even talk. I'm rushing so much. And I'm all about presence, so I'm going to get present, and I don't care. Okay. Warm people feel authentic, present, and extra human. And I love this Maya Angelou quote, because this really says it all. People will forget what you said, they'll forget what you did, but they will always remember the way you made them feel. Very important to remember that. Do you know the number one reason people buy or choose anything? Shout out a couple of answers. Why do people buy or choose anything? They like you, emotional reasons. Those are all the right answers. I'm looking for one word and one word only. I usually play with the audience on this, but I'm not going to because I'm running out of time. And I'm going to tell you that confidence is the number one reason people buy or choose anything. It's why they will hire you, mate with you, date with you, do anything with you. So Tony Robbins, the neurolinguistic programming expert, says that the emotion of confidence is such a powerful thing that people will do anything to avoid feelings of uncertainty or self-doubt. So confidence, the number one reason people buy or choose anything. When I work with my clients and in my e-learning program, I have deconstructed confidence and what it really means. And the flip side of confidence is insecurity. And guess what? They're both states of mind, and you can flip them like that. It's really amazing, and I'm rushing, and you're not getting the full effect of this, but I'm sorry. When you're feeling insecure, the thing to do is to review your strengths and what others value about you. One of my clients said she goes to her LinkedIn profile and reads the recommendations. I think that's a great idea. Stay focused on your vision for the future and the positive things you want to accomplish, and understand that insecurity and self-doubt are the enemies of confidence, and people will never buy into a situation of doubt. This slide says it all just in a picture. Element number 6 is about serving as a leader. And this is according to Daniel Goleman in Emotional Intelligence. Do you know that leaders and presidents and CEOs are 7 times more likely to demonstrate emotional self-control than the rest of us? That's huge. Look at this slide. 7 times more likely. So what's your emotional self-control like? I was speaking at a company last week in the Silicon Valley, and a guy said to me, wait, I don't get this. First you tell me to be emotionally sensitive, and then you tell me that if I don't control my emotions by 7 times more than everybody else. I said, no. They're 2 different things. You want to be emotionally sensitive. You just don't want to be emotionally reactive. Because when you're emotionally reactive, what's triggering you right now in the present moment has nothing to do with the present moment. It has to do with something that happened in the past that you think is happening again right now, and it's not. So get over it. Okay. Emotional intelligence is 2 times more important in contributing to excellence than intellect and expertise alone. Okay, leaders need people skills. I don't care who you are, what profession you're in, you need people skills to be a leader. And guess what? People skills explain 85% of why we get, keep, and get ahead in our careers. And only 15% is due to technical competency. I was speaking at KPMG this summer at a conference, and the managing partner looked at me. He said, you're telling my people technical competency doesn't matter? It's one of the largest accounting firms in the world. I said, no, that got them the job. That's the price of admission, your technical competency. What's going to get you to keep the job and go places with it are your people skills. Now, this is my favorite subject to talk about, and unfortunately, I have to rush through this, but I'm going to rush through it. Okay, maintaining presence is element number 7. Remember I said hang around, it could save your life? There are physical diseases associated with these 3 reasons that keep us from being present. They are busy mind, worrying mind, and critical mind. Now, I usually ask the audience, and I take a lot of time, to think about which one is your predisposition, because all of us have a predisposition to one way of not being present to our lives. It's either our busy mind in this area. There's more busy-minded people than a lot of other places on the planet, that's for sure. And then there's the worrying mind and the critical mind. So by a show of hands, can you read what's underneath it? I'm doing this such an injustice, it's unfortunate. With the time factor. But when you have a busy mind, we know what that is. The worrying mind, exactly what you don't want to happen is what you're ruminating about. And guess what? You bring it right to you because all you're doing is thinking about it. So you bring exactly what you don't want to you. The critical mind is the constantly judging, constantly running commentary about everything happening. The diseases associated with the three of these, the busy-minded person has circulation problems, type A personalities, that makes sense, heart disease. The worrying mind, you people get a cold, it never goes away, it sits in the respiratory system, you get bronchitis, pneumonia, you die that way. Guess what? The critical people don't even get a physical malady because they're so busy judging everything and criticizing everything, and the world is so imperfect, they suffer from depression. So get over it, guys, and get present, okay? You won't have to deal with any of these physical maladies. So just curiosity, a show of hands, how many of you think you're more busy-minded than the other two? That's pretty typical. How many of you are worriers? The worriers don't raise their hands real high because they get worried about what you think of them. And then the critical-minded people? Okay, I'm in that category too. All right, let's move ahead. This is the last element. I'm almost done. Element 8 is about projecting your authentic self, taking off the mask. Your high emotional intelligence equals low insecurity and more openness. People would much rather hang around people that are like that. And now I want to share with you a famous story about the artist Picasso. Are you ready? This is one of my favorite stories to tell, and it has a lot to do with your personal brand, and then we'll take questions and answers. Okay, so Picasso was at a seaside resort with one of his many mistresses back in the day, and there was a stalker lady at the next table listening to every word. She said, "That's Picasso, the famous artist at the next table." She said to her friend, "I'm going to go up to him and see if he'll just scribble something on my napkin. I'll pay him whatever he thinks it's worth." Her friend looks at her like she's insane. She goes running up and interfering with his lunch. She hands her napkin to him. She said, "Will you just scribble something in my napkin? I'll pay you whatever you think it's worth." He said, "Sure. I know how to get rid of this lady." He scribbles something. He hands it back. He said, "That'll be $30,000. That's what she said. $30,000? Are you kidding me? That took you 3 seconds. Picasso very confidently said, "No, my dear. That took me 30 years. So how long has it taken you to build your personal brand and get where you are today? And how confidently and charismatically do you go out into the world and articulate your own value?" Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'd like to remind our audience listening at home today that you are listening to the Commonwealth Club of California. Our speaker today is Ellen Luyan, Building a Charismatic Personal Brand. My name is Kevin O'Malley. I'm chairman of the Business and Leadership Forum and your host for tonight. We will be turning it over for about 10 minutes of questions and answers. Please don't call from your seat. Please come up to the microphone, and we'll turn it over to you guys for questions.
And we want a lively discussion, guys, so think about – yes, right there. Think about your questions. This is the most fun, usually. That's why I rush through it.
For number 7, with the 3 different types of people, how do we overcome that if we recognize ourselves as one of the 3?
That's a great question. And the first thing is the recognition of it. That's always the first thing in anything. So can I do a little something with you? Do you mind? You want to go back to the microphone?
Sure.
I'm picking on you. See what happens when you ask a question? What predisposition are you more than the other 3?
The 3rd one, the critical.
Critical.
One.
Oh, good. I can relate. So this is perfect. Okay. So what happens when you get very critically minded? Critical minded.
I'm just focused on what's wrong, or this person didn't do this right, or it should be this way.
What happens when you're in an interaction, like we're having dinner, or you're trying to sell me something, or trying to sell yourself to me to hire you? What might happen? Because whatever those 3 predispositions are, each one is taking you out of the present moment. That's all that really matters. For you, it matters why. So in your case, it's because you're critical-minded. So maybe you're running commentary. Why is she wearing that jacket? Why does she wear black? Yeah, I don't know. What goes through your head? Those are the things that go through mine. So
mine are more like, well, I would have done it this way, and my way's better. Or you didn't.
And you're comparing things that you hear to what you already know. Is that happening too?
Yes, 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 yes.
Okay. So what you can do is tell yourself in that moment, I need to get present. And the way to get present is through the breath typically. So I would take, because I'm the same predisposition you are, so when I feel myself really getting judgmental and I'm sitting across the desk from someone who I'm trying to sell something to or get them to like me, hire me, do something favorable, I'm taking myself out of the present moment by my running commentary. Okay. And they can feel it. They don't know that I'm running commentary and talking about what they're wearing or what a tacky office or they can't afford my services or whatever I'm telling myself in the moment. But when I come back to my breath and to my body, I can stop that endless chatter and get right back into what's happening. And it takes training. I mean, I've been working on this for 20 years and I still work on it. So I would say that's the answer, to get into your body, into your breath, and back into the present moment. And it takes practice. And the most important thing is to notice when you're not in the present moment and how it's hampering your communications, because it will. Thank you very much.
Thank
Does
you.
That answer your question? Thank you. Yes. Yes. Oh, go ahead. You're next, and then you. Yes.
Hi,
there's my
you.
Friend from USF.
Yes, Brenna Isaacson from University of San Francisco. My MBA friends and I are having a little bit of trouble trying to figure out our personal stories, basically because I think we only have, 3 to 5 years experience before going back to school. Do you have any suggestions on how to really create a personal story that's going to be moving and
Yes,
amazing?
And I think you have personal stories already from your life, no matter how old you are.
I hope so.
Because you can relate it to. So let me ask you a question. What's an attribute you'd like people to consider you having? A perception you'd like us to think about, wow, she's got that going on.
Oh.
I know I'm putting you on the spot, but you're fun to put on the spot.
Thank you. Okay, well, I guess I would like to be seen as a socially and environmentally conscious marketing associate, but an attribute is...
Let's just stay with one concept for
sure.
The teaching here. So environmentally conscious or socially
mm-hmm.
conscious,
sure.
Is that the attribute?
Yes.
So tell us a story that illustrates that from your life, because you must have a story that illustrates that from your current life. It doesn't have to come from a job. It could come from the fact that you were recycling before anybody else, and you've always had, from the time you were a little girl, I actually tell stories of when I was a little girl, see if this relates to you or for you and makes you think of something, but I used to love playing school when I was a little girl. And I would take my mother's dining room chairs and bring each one, and they were heavy, English heavy dining room chairs, bring each one into my tiny little bedroom and line them all up like this and speak to my audience. And look what I do for a living today. See? So I just told you a story of when I was about 8 years old in third grade and related it to my life now. So why don't you try it?
I don't really know right now.
You don't have to.
I need a little time.
I put you on the spot, but can you see that you can draw anything from your life
sure.
that has relevance to what you're doing now? And you have to be authentic with it. You can't just spin a story because it sounds cool.
Right.
But you can find out these things. But now that it's just at your top of mind, you're going to be traveling home tonight and go, damn it, why didn't I think of that when I had the microphone? I now have the perfect story. Call me and tell
okay.
me.
Thank you very much.
I would love to hear. Thank you for coming tonight, too. I appreciate that. This young woman was at my talk at the Haas Business School and came back for more. I love when that happens. Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm trying to get better about tooting my own horn. And
great.
I think I can be very charismatic in person. But as a recent MBA grad, I am job hunting. And I'm sending my resume on Craigslist and through, registering on the sites. And it's really hard to communicate that charismatic side where I feel confident in person. But, how do I stand out? The millions of resumes and each
Well, first of all, letter. It takes practice. The interview process takes practice. What is your exact question? It's not the interview process. It's how to get the interview? Or
Yeah, I mean, how do I communicate charismatic and my brand through, my
Well, I think
resume.
She's pretty darn charismatic right now. What does this audience think? You happen to be a very charismatic person.
Well, thank you.
And you come across very secure and confident. You have an awesome smile. That's a big part of charisma, by the way. I didn't talk about that. But you show up very charismatically and very confidently.
But how do I get that through email, through on LinkedIn, on
okay.
Craigslist?
Okay, that's the question.
Digitally, how do
okay,
I communicate
digitally,
that?
How to get it. Well, I'm probably not the expert on that because I didn't grow up in the digital age and I'm a little handicapped in that department sometimes myself. So I want to say that as a disclaimer that I'm not the go-to digital queen over here. But I am the go-to branding queen. And it's all the same, frankly. But I just needed to say that disclaimer since I'm on television, okay? And who knows who's going to look at this thing. So with that said, I don't want my IT guy going, oh, is she full of you-know-what? Okay, so what I want to say about coming across digitally, it's a LinkedIn profile can be very different than all the other ones. My LinkedIn profile doesn't read like some of those boring profiles I see on LinkedIn. it and also I'm going to put a plug in for my e-learning program, but one of the deliverables of that, which you can take on your own laptop and do your own brand right in your own house, is that you can have a LinkedIn profile written. I take you through it step by step. So there is a way to learn how to write sound bites, because you're talking about the written word now versus the spoken word, and it is very different. Mm-hmm. It's not all that different, but it is different. And when you have to write a message, see, I write messages. I'm a branding specialist and a copywriter. And when you write a message, you have to make sure it goes to both sides of the brain simultaneously. So remember earlier I said your right brain's your emotional center, and it thinks in pictures, and it's about people and stories. So tell a story on your LinkedIn profile. Nobody else is doing that. They're using all this resume language, all this stuff that nobody wants to read anyway. So be a little creative that way. That's one thing I would say. Maybe tell a story of your value. Short paragraph story on a LinkedIn profile. That's one thing. Or you can email that to a recruiter.
Okay.
That's right. A quick answer. Thank you. Thank you so much. And stay charismatic and confident.
Okay, unfortunately, at this time, we only have time for one more question. I would like to let our audience at home know you're listening to Ellen Luyan at the Commonwealth Club tonight. Our program is Building a Charismatic Personal Brand, and we do only have time for one more question.
Okay. Do we want a man? Oh, we have a woman. I'm sorry. I thought nobody was standing up. Go ahead. We want to hear your question.
I work for a global company, and I work 100% on the telephone and in web meetings. I'm wondering if you have any feedback for communicating charisma over the telephone in web meetings and things like that.
Yeah. First of all, presence matters on the telephone too. The same way it matters when you're in person, get really present. I keep a mirror on my desk because my tone, as I told you, I'm known for like a lousy tone sometimes with voicemails and things like that. And now I'm giving webinars. I just gave an international webinar to 3,300 people in 15 countries on Valentine's Day. It was awesome. But because it was a webinar and I'm used to getting energy from an audience, I didn't have that because I'm talking out into the dead zone there. And I'm sitting in my little home office doing this with my black lab under the desk. And I had to constantly get myself really excited. And even me, who's I'm pretty passionate and pretty enthusiastic about things when I'm presenting, I had rehearsed it first, which I never do, but I don't do a lot of webinars. So I heard myself on tape and I sounded like I was flatlining. So I had to intentionally exaggerate my intonation so I sounded really energetic. It sounded almost fake to me at first. But when I heard myself on tape, so that's what I would say. I would say practice on tape. You be the judge of how your emotional connectivity and energetic connectivity is happening. And then you have to amp it up a little bit and keep a mirror on your desk. Because when you feel your energy kind of flatlining, look at yourself and you'll be reminded to. So simple little techniques, but hopefully that's helpful. And I love Q&A, and I'm sorry we don't have more time, but thank you all for coming tonight. It's such a pleasure to have you here. Thank you, Kevin. I'm done.